Well, welcome again to the continuing conversation on this gold hoard. I've got Drew Kroll here in the studio with us again. Drew, the last time we talked to you about the gold hoard, when you were looking through British sovereigns and your mouth was watering because you were talking about how the coins were probably much higher grade than actually what you were paying for and were able to pass to our clients. We've had a huge response since then. That's why you continue to go back and buy more. But you came into something on the second trip that you weren't expecting, and I want you to go ahead and explain to the listeners what that was.
Kevin, after we spent two different trips just merely going through and segregating and buying and negotiating these purchases of the sovereigns, at dinner that night, we were just having a casual conversation, and it came up that we were interested in other European fractional coins, and for some reason, they had kind of missed the idea that we were very enamored also with the Dutch 10 guilder.
Well, sure.
And so they asked me, they said, well, would you be interested in some Dutch 10 guilders? And I said, well, certainly we would be. What did you have in mind? And he said, well, this hoard has some Dutch 10 guilders in it, but I don't have any here now. I'll tell you what, when you're back next time, I'll order out some and you can take a look at them.
Well, and just to put it in perspective, okay, the Dutch 10 guilder is a little smaller as far as weight. It looks a little bit like the British sovereign in diameter, but in width, it's just a little smaller. It's about a fifth of an ounce instead of close to a quarter of an ounce.
It is. Generally speaking, we use the term quarter of an ounce in association with the sovereign, even though it's slightly less than that. And we certainly use the term a fifth of an ounce with the 10 guilder, even though it's just slightly off of it. It's actually 0.1947 of an ounce. But at any rate, at that dinner, you know, he said he would have us some coins on the next visit. So sure enough, I show up on, I think it must have been my third time over. And we had gotten through the sovereigns and had almost depleted that whole part of the hoard, when all of a sudden, you know, he brings out this little group of guilders because he wasn't sure what our response to it would be or what have you. And as I was going through the second stack, Kevin, I just had to catch my breath. And I know this sounds maybe silly to some of the listeners, but I've been doing this a long time.
Right.
And I've been at this just at ICA for 31 years. And I'm just looking at something that is astounding. So I just told everybody, stop. Stop what you're doing. I said, I don't want anybody else touching these coins. I'll just finish this project. I'm not going to have anybody else getting fingerprints or oil or salt or anything on the surface of these coins.
Well, and you have someone there helping you who normally would know how to handle coins, well, holding it from the edges. What you saw with these coins was unique because you told us later that it looked like these had never been probably even touched from the time that they had been minted.
That's right. These coins have been so obviously left in mint bags doing nothing for about 50 to 70 years. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I just called a halt to anybody moving them or jostling them or what have you, and finished up that little project myself. But in subsequent trips, we've gone armed with gloves.
Right.
I'm serious. I mean, this is how nice these coins are. Kevin, I just need to tell you that ordinarily when I buy a group of 10 guilders, I might get a group of 500 or 1,000 and wade my way through them to come up and be picky and just choose the quality that would be appropriate for our investors. And it might be 20%.
Right.
It might be 25% if it's a nice deal.
Your average is to run about 1 in 4 or 5 coins when you go through coins.
And that's true, because what's happened over time, and the banks don't care about the quality or what they have, they're talking about quantity and the numbers. And so coins would be thrown in with other coins, and circulated coins would be in some way you mixed in with uncirculated coins. So it's a tedious but rewarding process to separate the uncirculated from the circulated. But what I was looking at was an entirely different world altogether. There wasn't a single circulated coin in the group.
So in other words, you normally would see a mixture of coins. In this particular
right.
case, these were sister coins.
They were. It's like just off the minting process. I mean, these were coins that were bagged and housed and left alone for decades. And, I mean, the strike was extraordinary. The color was exactly correct for a coin that's been sitting around and aging nicely for that length of time. It was extraordinary. So we've taken great care to preserve the integrity of the luster, the integrity of the condition of these coins, so that we can just pass them on to our investors. I mean, it is truly a unique opportunity to buy original coins, original rolls, original tubes of these particular dated 10 guilders.
Well, and again, what's nice is the bank that's selling this, we can't name the bank, but they're not charging us extra for this particular higher quality of coin. You told us that we're selling it at an MS60 price, but really, if these coins were sent into PCGS, you said they'd come back 63, 64, maybe even 65.
Definitely 65s. And this is an extraordinary group. The low range of this group is MS63. The high range is 65. There may be an occasional 6 in there. But the point is, these are actually as they were when they were minted. And it's an extraordinary find. It's an extraordinary opportunity. And in all the years that I've been doing this, Kevin, we have never offered dated rolls. I mean, we've never had such before.
Right, because there's always a mixture. Well, let's go back into why people have demanded these coins for the last 13 to 15 years from us. Because, Drew, the large gold hoards that you were getting into back in the late 1990s, a lot of them were coming out of the Bank of England sales, and it was perfect timing at the time. I mean, people were demanding smaller coins that could possibly be bartered with if necessary. You know, with gold getting up possibly into the multiple thousands of dollars over the next few years, it makes sense for people to have a little smaller coin, like a quarter of an ounce or, in this case, a fifth of an ounce.
It makes perfect sense because, you know, you're going to have a ounce coin perhaps in the future that could be worth $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, and
right,
that's not going to be easy to negotiate, whereas these coins, fractional size, will have a fraction of that value. Kevin, I would just encourage anybody who perhaps missed our first conversation that they might want to go back on our website and click on the icon there just to listen to the first experience that we had with the British sovereigns. These Dutch 10 guilders are just extraordinary. What a follow-up to what was already a tremendous find and a tremendous opportunity with the British sovereigns.
It's a little more than icing on the cake for sure, but let's just look at the country for a second because, you know, the United States dollar has been the currency of the realm now for all of our lifetimes. But before that, the British sovereign was. That was the most recognized coin in the world. But I think if we scroll back even further, the Dutch had really the world by the hand as far as world trade goes. And actually, the American colonies owe a lot of their success to the Dutch.
We really do. The United States was aided in a great way, as everyone knows, by the French during the Revolutionary War, but perhaps less known, but just as important, was our ally in Holland.
Wasn't that through John Adams? Didn't John Adams get that put together?
Well, John Adams actually went to the Netherlands and secured the first loan for the fledgling colonies. At the time, it was 5 million guilders, which was all in gold and quite a loan to the colonies. And, of course, they had the desire to continue the vibrant trade that they were conducting through the islands down in the Caribbean. And that was really the nexus to the colonies.
Well, and because of those loans and because of the alliance with the United States, they ended up taking a beating from the British. The British ended up declaring war against them and knocked a lot of those island posts out, didn't they?
That's exactly correct. So they did take a toll for becoming our ally, but they were an unsung hero in our early formative years.
Well, let's talk about then the 20th century, because these coins are from the 20th century. Queen Wilhelmina is the head on the coin. She
right.
was the monarch at the time, born, you were saying, in the 1890s?
Well, she came to the throne in 1892.
Okay.
She ascended the throne, and the coins continued to have her face on them through 1933. So that's a 41-year stint with her likeness on the coin.
Well, a little bit like the British sovereign, where the Victoria, we see several different ages of the Victorian era sovereign. You have Queen Wilhelmina. You've got a younger Queen Wilhelmina coin, and then a type 2 or a second type. Why don't you explain what those coins are a little bit?
Sure. There's two major types of her likeness on the coins. One was from 1911 through 1917, and we actually have one of the dates that we have actually has her a younger head with a small crown. The later rendition, she's not wearing the crown, and those were minted from 1925 through 1933. Kevin, every date in that series is represented.
That's amazing that they would have all of those coins, you know, just sitting in a dark vault with no one touching them for as long as they did. So,
yes, it's quite remarkable. It's been very rewarding professionally to even have an opportunity to go through this deal.
So if a person wants to get involved with this and maybe receive some of these coins, I know you've put together packages of 10, 10, and 10 of the Dutch 10 guilders as an introductory package, or more commonly, people buy them in tubes of 50, which is about 10 ounces of gold per tube.
That's right, Kevin. What we're trying to do is let our investors participate in multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
These are all solid date, either groups of 10, groups of 50. If they have desire for more, we certainly are accommodating that. But the point is to find any original bags of European gold coins is extraordinary. But then to find them in multiple dates and to be able to offer them to our investors in segregated dated tubes, it's fantastic. It's just a great opportunity. It's something that we've never been able to do in my 31 years here. And frankly, Kevin, had it not been for the liquidation of this Eastern European bank, we would never have been able to offer something like this.
Well, Drew, I really appreciate you joining us again. It's always fun when I've been here in the office the last 27 or 28 years listening to you come back from different finds. But this one in particular, this is like I was telling the listeners of the first recording. We've never done this with you before. We've listened to these things here in the office. We've heard your stories, but we have to then translate the stories to our clients. I'm glad that you took the time to talk to us today.
Oh, listen, it's my pleasure. Believe me, I am as enthusiastic as I could possibly be. Professionally, this is unheard of, and what a great opportunity for our investors to share in this hoard.
If you'd like to see a picture of these coins, we do have a brochure that will show them, and then you can give us a call at 800-525-9556 to talk to us about them. Again, call us for the brochure or call us to discuss the coins. You can also look at these coins at McIlvaney.com. That's McIlvaney.com. Thanks for listening.